Today we look at Genesis chapter 25. We are pursuing our pathway through this blessed book, looking at the insights that are there for our own lives. We have discovered that this is not just ancient history. It is instead spiritual truth necessary for our own well-being. Chapter 25 deals with Abraham's descendants. And it begins, "Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah." The name means fragrance, aroma, a lovely name. This is after Sarah's death. And from Keturah, there were a whole group of children, as the following verses describe. In verse 5, the text says, "Now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living, and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. And these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. And Abraham breathed his last, and died in a ripe old age, an old man, and satisfied." The New American Standard says satisfied with life. I think probably with God is a little bit better. "And he was gathered to his people." That word satisfied is an interesting word. In Psalm 107:9, it says that he, God, satisfies the longing soul. And that was certainly Abraham. Abraham longed for God, desired God beyond all things. And the Lord satisfied him abundantly, as he does every seeking soul. If you are hungering for God, God is sure going to satisfy you fully by his presence. And Abraham was one of those. Verse 9 says, "Then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron the son of Zohar the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife." So here is the great patriarch Abraham. We have been pursuing his career since chapter 11 in Genesis, and he comes now to the end of his life, satisfied with God. He sought God in his heart and life, and God filled him with his presence and blessed him beyond words. And here Abraham goes home to glory, assuredly preserved by the Lord, and in a place of comfort and blessedness, along with Sarah, his wife. Now, in verse 11, it says, "And it came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac lived by Beer Lahai Roi, the well of the living one who sees me." Now, that's a very interesting title for the place where Isaac lived. It was Abraham's great desire that Isaac be blessed, that Isaac have the sense of the presence of God. And now Abraham goes home to his reward, and Isaac lived in that very place of the presence of God, the well of the living one who sees me. Isaac lived in the sense of God who is present, God who is watching me. And this is a most wholesome thing for us to live in, that very same attitude. Too many Christians fall into the trap of being busy about many things, like Martha, and forgetting that the presence of the Lord is the all-important element of life. The busyness that we have to live in is not the thing we should concentrate upon. And we have to do our tasks, and we must do our jobs right and all that, and the Lord expects us to. But what's important about life is not the busyness. What's important about it is the presence of the Lord. And the fact that we are doing what we are doing in full consciousness that there is a living God who is watching us, who is with us, observing our actions and our deeds and our service, that is what makes it so important. The people who forget about that regularly stumble because they're not conscious of the one who is living and watching them. We must cultivate that sense. Now, in verse 12, these are the records of the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maid, bore to Abraham. So here are the descendants by Hagar. And we know Ishmael was the important one of all those. And Ishmael came together with Isaac for the burial of his father Abraham. And so here again, they are together. Their relationship has not always been an easy one, but in that day and time, polygamy was expected. And here we see part of the difficulties connected with a social custom that is not according to God's will. But God blessed the children even in spite of all this and had His will for them also. And after enumerating the 12 princes of Ishmael, which are his descendants, verse 17 says, "And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. And they settled from Havilah to Shur, which is east of Egypt as one goes toward Assyria. He settled in defiance of all his relatives." Now, there's an attitude problem here. He settled there, regardless of what his friends and neighbors and relatives thought. He was out to get what he wanted, and so was Ishmael. And as we have observed already, the Ishmaelites were one of the great problems that the Israelites had to face. And their relationship was not exactly good. And this attitude of living in defiance of all that his relatives wanted, not to mention other people, is an attitude that is still found in the Mideast. There's still those there who want what they want when they want it, no matter what anybody else says, no matter how close the relationship, they still want it, and they want it all, and they want it now. And that attitude that we see here in Ishmael, still there after all these thousands of years. So remember, friends, an attitude of rebellion, an attitude of willfulness is catching. Others pick up on that. Others decide, well, if he wants all that, I want all this. And so the dispute continues. In verse 19, the descendants now by Sarah. Now these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel the Aramean of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord in behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Now, here is another example of the common habits of mankind. Here is a marriage that they had to wait for. It's evident that Isaac waited 20 years before Rebekah was able to have children. A long wait, indeed. And we think at once, so why? Why this difficulty? Why the problems? And friends, that is what characterizes all of our lives. We have to wait for good things to happen. Sometimes we wait years for them to happen. We wonder, why does God delay? Well, He isn't delaying. He is perfect in His understanding. His omniscience is without an exception. And He knows that the longer we wait, the more we tend to ask Him for help. Too often when we have desires that are satisfied at once, we dismiss them from mind and take it as our due and go on and forget to even thank God. But when we are put off, when the answers don't come, then we tend to be a little more serious. And we start praying the way we ought to be praying all along and begging God for deliverance, God for help, because He can overrule. He can accomplish His purpose even in spite of the difficulties. And sure enough, He can. And still we sometimes forget to thank Him when the answer comes. But friends, we need to learn. We need to cultivate within us this attitude of going before the Lord first, of seeking His blessing and His help right away and not waiting until difficulties come, waiting until we realize that we are stranded here and not making any progress and so on. We need to ask Him for help right from the beginning and to remember to thank Him for the good things that come our way, which we tend to take for granted and not even say thank you. That's obviously a thankless spirit that we must correct. And so here is a difficulty in the life of this good family. They are God-fearing people. They live in the presence of God. And there are difficulties also, as there is for all of God's people. But, verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord in behalf of his wife. Prayer is the great resource that we have at our disposal. Asking God to do something about the difficulties. He is listening. He is prepared to do good things for us. Why are we slow in pursuing that? Why do we put that off to a last resort instead of coming at once and pleading the blood, asking His help because of the merits of the Lord Jesus? That should be second nature with us. We know He answers. We have seen it. Why do we delay? Why do we put off this? Well, it's human nature, I guess, to seek to try to do all we can without any help from the Lord before, embarrassedly, we ask, Lord, can you help? He obviously can. Now, in verse 22, the children struggled together within her, that is, within Rebekah, and she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, here's a rather interesting thing. As you mothers tend to know, the offspring within you can be rather vigorous. And to get kicked in the ribs is not exactly a rare occurrence when a lady is carrying a child. But here is a struggle that's going on. Turns out there's more than one in there, and they are struggling against one another. Now, this is something because that was going to go on through all their lives. They were two individuals, very individualistic in their attitudes, very different from one another, and struggling for supremacy. Before they were born, they were struggling. All their days, they had this struggle. A strange combination. Now, sometimes, brethren have a sweet relationship with one another. And they not only learn how to get along, but they enjoy one another's company. And there are others that tend to have a rather prickly existence with one another. They tend to rival one another and push and pull at things rather than cooperate. Leading to complications of life. And here is a pair of them that's in that category. And for all their lives, they have a difficult relationship. Too bad. It doesn't have to be that way. God can supply grace. God can pour oil, the oil of His Spirit, upon troubled waters and ease human relationships and provide answers to difficulties and problems. But again, we tend not to ask. We tend to struggle along and forget that God has an answer to all these relationships. They don't have to be off pitch. They don't have to be difficult. Now, the Lord can see to it that they are made right. And in family relationships, we need to pray to that end, that God may indeed accomplish His purpose within the family and cause peace to reign and cause His will to become dominant in the lives of each one there. So, Rebekah certainly gives a good example. When there's a struggle within her, she doesn't just ignore it, but she goes to the Lord and asks, why? And the answer is, there are two dominant personalities in her womb who are going to produce two different peoples. They're going to be separate through thousands of years. And so, yes, there's going to be a difficulty here. In verse 24, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red, all over, like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. Now the word Esau means hairy. He must have been a furry little critter. So they immediately thought of that and called him Harry. Now, afterwards, his brother came forth with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, heel grasper, is what it means literally. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. Now, here are two diverse individuals. The first one with red hair, and a lot of it, had kind of a fiery disposition that sometimes goes with that. And his brother, Jacob, was grasping a hold of his brother's heel when the birthing process was going on. Now, people think, well, is that possible? Well, you mothers know that sometimes that newborn has a mighty good grip, and some of them can really get a hold of something and hang on. And here is Jacob, an individual who had a tremendous grip all his days. And he starts out that way, hanging on for something. He was always grasping for something. So, two very diverse children here, and diverse in their attitudes. So, in verse 27, when the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man, living in tents. And so this is, again, part of their differences. Esau loved to hunt, and he was good at it. And so he regularly came in with game. And that turned out to be something that Isaac, his father, dearly loved. And so he tended to favor Esau. Jacob, on the other hand, a peaceful person, he didn't like the idea of hiking all around hunting things. He obviously tended cattle, and as the record is going to show, he was good at it. And he was good at the flocks and the herds and produced a lot of them through his care with the animals. So, two different kinds of personages. Verse 28. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, here is a prescription for sorrow. This is something that should never be in a Christian family, or any family for that matter, but especially among Christians, where there's favoritism within the family. And one parent likes this child, and another parent likes that child, and they start dividing up on it. A Christian family is always teamwork. The children are mutual responsibilities. Now, they should be objects of mutual love and care. And here there was a serious flaw. And you say, well, Isaac was supposed to be especially blessed of God. That's right. God does bless people. And somehow they seem to forget the blessing and seem to start doing things that God can't bless and doesn't like to see in the family. And it's there, not because it should be there, but because there are differences between people, sometimes unresolved. Now, friends, in a Christian family, God wants to see all the differences resolved. He is able to do that. Sometimes the people can't resolve them. But there are no differences that God cannot resolve. There are no family relationships that God cannot bless and pour the oil of His Spirit upon, that the relationships become smoother and easier, that the Spirit of God can guide in the matter. And all of us in our families need to look very carefully to this, that we do not manufacture reasons for dissension, reasons for disagreement, but that we find reasons for conciliation, reasons for living together in love as brethren should live together. So, here in a godly family, there are elements that are unfortunate, that should not be there. And apparently, they're unable to cope with these differences. Now, in verse 29, when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I'm famished. And therefore his name was called Edom, another nickname which means red. So not only did he have red hair, but he liked to eat red food, in particular, lentils. Now, it may be that you are not familiar with lentils, but they're a kind of bean that is rather small and filled with protein. You young people don't know about this, but for you ancient history people, in the Second World War, good deal of food was very short in this country, and there was rationing introduced, and meat was at a great premium. And because of that, the government had a big campaign of causing people to eat meat substitutes, because the meat was not always on the shelf. And lentils and lima beans and other things like that were in great supply because they could be grown in our country. And for many people, they'd never tasted lentils. Now, I wish I had brought a bag of lentils along here. I forgot that this time. But maybe I can do that another time. Lentils are small beans, about a quarter of the size of a lima bean, and as hard as a BB pellet. It's the kind of thing that you wouldn't want to chomp on. Well, there's a way to deal with that. What happens is you soak lentils overnight for maybe 24 hours. And when you do that, they swell up to three or four times their previous size, and they turn bright red. And so that's how you fix lentils for cooking. When you've done that, then they can be cooked up just like lima beans can. They come out with a nice bean casserole. My wife used to do that. And so we experimented with biblical foods this way. Lentils are very wholesome, very, very high source of protein. If you don't have meat to go with it, the beans themselves can supply you with this. So, lentils. And here is Jacob cooking a stew with lentils in it. And that's quite a delicious pot. So when Esau comes in, that was a day he was not successful. Normally he was very successful at running down game, but he's been at it all day long, just starving now. He comes in and smells the aroma of that cooking stew, and he says, "Let me have some of that red stuff." That's the lentil stew. But Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Now, horrors. Here's a brother. He comes in from the field. He is starving, you know, and asks for some food. And Jacob says, "All right, let's drive a bargain here. Sell me your birthright and I'll give you some dinner." How crass can you get? Talk about poor relationships among brethren. That's surely an example of it right here. And now Esau's response is rather interesting. He says, "Behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is the birthright to me?" So, he doesn't value it at all. It's a minor detail. And so, a square meal is more important than his birthright. And Jacob says, "First, swear to me." And so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. My, when we look at this and look at the way it's recorded here, it kind of strikes us as a little different. First, we think of Jacob, and this is a dirty trick, surely, to pull on a blood brother. And so we tend to disparage Jacob in this context. Why would he act that way toward his brother? That's surely a mean-spirited way of dealing with him. But he sticks to his guns, and he gets the birthright. On the other hand, the comment of Moses on this score is, Esau despised his birthright. He has no comment on Jacob's actions, which are obviously less than brotherly, but Esau despised his birthright. Now, from God's standpoint, what Esau did here was much, much worse than what Jacob was doing here. Jacob was using sorry means to get a good thing, but he valued the birthright very highly. He was prepared to argue with his brother over this matter and buy, if possible, the right to this spiritual thing. That's different. He's in the category of somebody who will steal a Bible. You know, it's great that he have a Bible, but boy, that's sure a miserable way of getting it. And so here is Jacob with spiritual aspirations, but how he gets it, you know, leaves much to be desired. But the comment of Scripture is definitely on the side of Jacob. Jacob had spiritual aspirations. He realized the value of God's blessing. He wanted spiritual things. He's prepared to use miserable means to get them. Esau, on the other hand, is like a worldly fellow who's just a nice guy. You want to sit down and talk hunting with him? Oh, he's a great companion. But don't talk about God. He has no use for spiritual things. And Esau despised his birthright. In Hebrews 12:16, the writer of Hebrews says, Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, a meal of stew. Now, there's a spiritual evaluation of what happens in this scene. And what is really said here is that Esau saw no value in a spiritual heritage. He saw no value in his relationship with God. Isaac, on the other hand, saw the presence of God. He lived in the sense that God was watching. And he valued those spiritual things very highly, so much so as to drive a hard bargain with a brother to get it, which is an attitude problem. That's strange. And it still is with us. There are people today who are very, very pious, religious people. Come Monday, they'll cheat you. And there are people who have no religious pretensions whatsoever, who are just nice people, nice to be around, just good sort of people, but don't talk religion. And that's strange, isn't it? But people are like that, rather contradictory in their attitudes, and here are two on the opposite sides of the spectrum here. Now, that word despised, in verse 34, this is the first mention of that word, bazah. Moses records in Numbers 15:31 that the people who despised the word of the Lord shall be cut off. Now, this tells you something about the danger of such a practice. One who despises God is standing under the judgment of God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fools despise wisdom." Ah, you despise God's word. Despise the truth of God that is in this book, you know. You have made yourself a fool. You are incompetent in the things of God. Now, friends, this chapter takes things a little bit differently than most of us would take them. We would tend to look down on Jacob for the way he treated his brother here, for the Scriptures definitely put all the blame on Esau. Esau, if he had really cherished the things of God, would have starved rather than barter away his birthright. And were their situations reversed, Jacob would not have parted with the spiritual elements of his life no matter what, no matter how faint he got. He would not have done that. So there is a difference here. Now, friends, this chapter is here for a very important reason. It is not here just to tell us about the characteristics of two brothers. It's here to tell us about our relationship with God and what our hearts really desire in life. It is easy for the Christian to be lulled to sleep in this wicked world. Vanity Fair is all about us, and we can very easily become distracted from our true purpose in this life. And instead of being conscious, as Isaac was, about the presence of God, living in the sense that God is watching all the time, and Jacob's intense desire for spiritual things, whatever his means may be, sometimes our aspirations for the good, the better, the best, the presence of God, the blessing of His Word, fellowship with God and the sense of His presence, sometimes these things become dim and distant. And we kind of get out of sorts, spiritually speaking. But here is one like Esau. No matter how nice he is, what a nice guy for a fishing trip or a hunting trip, you know, a real nice guy to be around, but nothing for God. God is shut out of his life. He doesn't want to talk about God. He doesn't value the things of God. for a meal, he would give away a heritage. Total lack of spirituality. My friends, that picture is here, held up before all of us, so that we can look in the mirror of Scripture and see where we belong. Are we in the lineage of Jacob, for all his faults, who hungered for God, who wanted spiritual things, who was determined to have those spiritual things? Or does our spiritual image coincide with Esau, who was not concerned? A good meal is better than the things of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, let each of us look into the mirror of Scripture and see ourselves and our attitudes and our desires and whether there is a proper hunger there for the things of God. O Lord, forgive us that we forget Thee. Forgive us that we let the fires burn low upon the altar. Forgive us that we are not zealous for spiritual things. Stir us up, Lord. Cause us to remember that we may think of Thee and desire Thee and walk in Thy presence and live in the sense that Thou art the living One who is watching. Help us, Lord, that we may live day by day with Thee, seeking Thy will and Thy word, Thy presence, and letting Thy Spirit work through us to cause us to be all that we should be for Thee. Deliver us, Lord, from the secular attitude of the world in which we live, and men, no matter how pleasant, who would take us away from Thee and away from the Bible and away from the sense of Thy presence with Thy people. And Lord, we ask that Thy blessing may rest upon the Christian families represented here, that Thy Spirit will knit hearts together and cause that sweet spirit of Christian love to reign in our families. Give us the sense that Thou art the head of our home, and our behavior every day must be in keeping with Thy wishes and Thy word. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.